You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Jimmy Butler returned to practice with the Minnesota Timberwolves amidst trade rumors with the Miami Heat. He called out teammates. He called out executives. He called out his head coach, Tom Thibodeau. It was a wild day at practice for Jimmy Butler's return. What does Vegas have to say?
First, though, I got to say there's three things I think of first with Minnesota. One, Bob Dylan. That's where he was born and grew up. Two, Mary Tyler Moore. And three, Brandon Walsh from Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
But that said, Jimmy Butler's causing some drama here. Fez, let's be objective about it, right? Typical talk shows are going to bemoan, oh, these players these days, they don't have the discipline or team mentality they used to. Others are going to say, hey, we've got to empower the players, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's talk some money here. Minnesota, before Butler and the talk of him leaving, the likelihood of him leaving, what was their projected number of wins? That's a way to tell how optimistic Vegas is about an NBA team. Season wins, how many of the 82 games were they expected to win?
45.5.
All right, 45.5. So let's do some math here. 41 to 41 is 500. So this team with all this promise, even with Butler, was supposed to be slightly better than a 500 team.
Yes.
Okay. That was a rhetorical question. Like, it seemed like it confused you.
Oh, nine games above 500, they have a little bit better than a little bit better than 500.
Well, I mean, if they're winning four games more than if they broke even, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Jimmy Butler, a lot of uncertainty. How has that affected the number?
Yeah, it has crashed. It's currently at 41.5, so the T-Wolves are projected to be just a 500 team now.
Okay, so four-point downgrade. Now, Jimmy Butler, though, he's worth about 3 points per game. That's a consensus opinion. So let's say they're playing a given game. He's in. They're favored by 9. Without him, they're favored by 6. 3 points per game. Now, that 3 points equates to more than 4 wins. They've dropped 4 wins. And what does that presuppose? A couple of things. One, there's a chance he's going to stay. He might leave. He likely will leave. But there's a chance he's going to stay. So you don't want to make that full adjustment. Number two, it's possible if he does leave, they get something of value in return. The T-Wolves get something of value in return. Thus, yeah, maybe you're giving away a dollar and getting 2 quarters back, but you're still getting something back. Does that sound like a fair reason the win total for the T-Wolves hasn't dropped more than it has?
Correct. So if he was just out for the year by injury, it would have dropped even more.
Yes, because they wouldn't have gotten anything back for him. Great example. Last thought on this quickly. The Heat, though there's drama about Butler, drama, okay, I'm seeing it. Plus 100, they were just recently, even money, the Heat, to land Butler. So the clear favor. I want to kind of take that Vegas mentality, though, Jonas, and apply if I were Jimmy Butler. And he's actually very motivated, if he's thinking about it in this way, to be as worthless as possible on the open market. Because let's say that he does something like, I don't know, cause a bunch of trouble at practice today. Well, what's going to happen? The other teams are going to think, oh my gosh, he's a troublemaker. We're not going to give that first-round pick or that other viable player. We're going to give half that much. But if he makes it impossible, Jimmy Butler's antics, if he were like a Machiavellian genius, I would say think he's accomplishing two things with his antics today. One, T-Wolves seem to have to trade him in a more urgent manner, because he's a distraction right now. It's leading straight out of Vegas. Number two, he probably is less valuable because of the antics, which means whatever team he goes to has to give up less, which means the team he goes to has a better chance to win because he's perceived to be less valuable. I have no idea if he's thinking in that level, but boy, if it seems like his actions are going to lead to that result.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
to the NBA. The regular season starts in less than a week. And on Bleacher Report, there was an article talking about how LeBron's supporting cast for the Lakers is comparable to the one he had in Cleveland. Colin Cowherd disagrees.
Folks, if you think this team's going to struggle to get to 40 wins, you're out of your gourd. The Cavs without LeBron in the last 4 years, that's with Kevin Love, that was with Kyrie Irving, that was with J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver. Last 4 years without LeBron, they were 4-23 in the weaker East. The Lakers last year without LeBron and a bunch of babies, a bunch of kids, won 35 games in the significantly tougher Western Conference. This Laker roster is younger, more athletic, quicker, longer, significantly better defensively. Lakers going to be just fine.
Yeah, Colin, I agree. Could not agree with him more. And we talked about this on the weekend Straight Out of Vegas show before the football season started. By the way, guys, there is SOV weekend, 11 o'clock Pacific, right before midnight on Saturday nights. Jonas hosting this week. Am I correct on that, Jonas?
That is correct. It'll be the lowest rated episode ever, I'm sure.
Okay, perhaps, but still worth listening
yes,
to.
Yes, absolutely.
But we were talking about this very thing, Fez. The idea that this Cavs team without LeBron is somehow comparable to this Lakers team with LeBron, or I'm sorry, without LeBron. In both cases, let's just talk supporting cast. The Lakers supporting cast is just so much better. If these teams without LeBron, just the supporting cast, were playing on a neutral court, what's the line?
I'd make the Lakers a six-point favorite.
A six-point favorite. So I know I'm just asking you this off the cuff. If Golden State played the Lakers with LeBron on a neutral, what's the line?
Golden State minus -7.
So think about that. The distance from this Lakers team that everyone's saying, oh, even with LeBron, who knows, to the best team of this generation, Golden State, is about the same distance from the Lakers supporting cast over the Cavs supporting cast. So Bleacher Report, mainstream media miss, as we like to say. Way wrong. Two last things about the Lakers this year. If you answer this question, you know what to do with their win total. By the way, their season win total, 48.5. So if they win 49 or more games, they exceed expectations, the Lakers. 48 or less, they fall short. Fez, you like the over a little bit here, right?
Yes, I do.
If I could get the answer to this question, I would love the over or under based upon the answer. Is this a statement season for LeBron? Is he going to say, hey, Lakers, LA hasn't welcomed me with the loving embrace that I am used to. I'm going to prove to them I still got it. And if he's going to play every game or close to it like he did last year, play with the vigor during the regular season he played last year, I'd make one of my biggest bets of the year on over 48.5 wins regular season Lakers. If he considers this a transition season, then I think all bets are off. I don't know the answer to that question. To me, it's the key to the Lakers season.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So, RJ, you have some stuff, some information about Alabama football that maybe some of the folks in Tuscaloosa and some of the folks nationally may be a little bit surprised by.
Yeah, and if not, boy, the extremeness of this number is shocking, I think, to anybody. Right now, if you say, boy, Bama looks good, Tua looks good, I think they're going to win the national title. And that Nick Saban's kind of good, too. Brad, there's a place in town, Stations Casino, big sports book. You've got to risk $240 to win $100.
Yep.
So think, $2.40 to win a dollar, $2.40 to win $100 in order to, if you want to bet Bama to win the title. How's that stack up versus, let's say, teams in the last 20 years?
Oh, it's historic. I can't ever remember a team, at least in the middle of October, being that big of a favorite. And I think if you take it and move it cross over to other sports, it's historic. It's even bigger than what the Warriors were in basketball.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Brad, that you bring up Golden State, because Michael Jordan, by most accounts, Colin disagrees occasionally. Sometimes he see, I don't know, when it's the Michael debate against LeBron, I don't, you know, he seems to be on each side based on which way the wind's blowing.
Is it a tightrope? Right?
That's true. But he's got more, he's on LeBron potentially being the best of all time more than most. Most people say it's Michael. Well, Michael in his heyday was about even money with the Bulls to win the title. Michael or the field. Tiger Woods in his heyday versus more golfers, it was Tiger versus the field. Now, as the season progresses and there's only four teams left or whatever, you get the conference finals, sometimes you've seen a bigger favorite. But with every team still viable or this early in the year, you don't see these minus 240s in any sport. But now, just is it a coincidence or is it a sign of something that Golden State, historically big favorites over the last couple of years, they've been multiple times. We're going to talk a little bit about the Rams, how big of a favorite they are, but another historically big favorite, Bama.
Yeah, and keep in mind also, you know, just 5 years ago, you just had to win one game as far as a national championship. Now at the playoff, you got to win an additional game. So
no matter how well you do, I mean, think about it, what, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, Bear Bryant teams, Joe Pa, it was what? Win out your conference, play one bowl game,
yep,
no conference championship. Now, Bama, if you consider the conference championship to be one of your toughest games, the semifinals and finals, you've got three additional games that a Joe Pa or whatever didn't have to play back in the day, and they're all three of your toughest games of the year, and still Bama is minus 240, historically big favorite.
Absolutely. I think that's a powerful point, saying how big of a favorite right now Alabama is historically.
And just 6 weeks ago, you could have bet the best five teams in college football. Will any of them win? Alabama and then also Clemson. You got Ohio State, Washington, and all five of them, Oklahoma combined. Those odds were minus 250.
Yeah, so what you're saying is they used to have just recently a bundle of teams, and that bundle of teams, including all the big names, was in the minus 250 range. And Bama now by themselves are in that range. Brad, what has Bama done in the last 2 weeks to warrant this? If anything, their defense looked as bad as it's looked all season last week.
Well, let's also keep in mind that people love offense. And right now, Alabama's offense is at an historic pace. People love the quarterback position. Tua Tagovailoa at an historic pace. Here's a guy that's thrown 18 touchdown passes, only 25 incompletions. And Tua has not played a single snap right now in the fourth quarter, yet has these, I mean, he's on pace to break Baker Mayfield's record for passing efficiency by far. So
yeah, so I think offense is what I call football sexy. No doubt people get excited by it. I mean, what's been Bama's toughest game this year? At least, let's say, lowest spread.
Wow. On the road against Mississippi, they were a 3-touchdown favorite.
So they've been favored every game by 3 touchdowns or more.
Yep.
Now, to some degree, you could say, RJ, that's the point. They're that good. To another degree, you could say, but they've got 3 games coming up against Georgia, likely, and then against 2 of the best teams in the country, that is going to be, you know, let's say right now, if Bama played Ohio State, they'd be, what, about 10?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big number on a neutral, but it's nowhere near 21.
Exactly.
So the idea that we know so much more about Bama today than we knew 2 or 3 weeks ago, it doesn't seem right to me.
I would agree with that. And look, the offense by far is the best Saban's had, but I can argue the defense is at least a notch, if not 2 notches, below a lot of these Saban defenses in the last 5 or 6 years.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Pat's favored by 3.5 at home against KC. Now, actually, Jonas, we've got a little bit of sound on this game.
Yes. On Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, Nate Burleson said this about the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
As we all know about the NFL, it's a what have you done for me lately league. And that Chiefs defense lately, it looks absolutely legit.
No, editorial note, we added the cuckoos. Now, last week, 500 yards they gave up to the Jags. 500 yards. That was the legit defense from Kansas City. And oh, by the way, and Colin Cowherd on the Herd and the staff at the Herd do a wonderful job. They had this today. Through five games, Kansas City's given up more yards than any team in NFL history. So by that metric, the worst defense in the history of football. Fez, we know Mahomes is mighty good. Pat's favored by 3.5. Lean or like?
Yeah, I like the Patriots. I bet the Patriots minus the 3.5. And also with that KC defense, as bad as they've been, RJ, they got three defensive backs on the injury list. They may be even worse.
Let me ask a quick question. Quickly, devil's advocate. In your power ratings, you put them out every week. Follow him on Twitter, at Fezzik Sports, and get him directly, F-E-Z-Z-I-K, at Fezzik Sports or pregame.com. You've got Kansas City and New England almost tied. Three is the typical home field. Why do you actually like the Pats laying 3.5?
10 days to prepare and new weapons with Edelman and Gordon ready to go.
So the new weapons have caused an upgrade in the Pats.
Yes.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.